Rendell, Steve here.
And Larson.
I'm here as well. Yay!
Yay! The perfect intro. Welcome back to, what's it called? Going in Raw.
Going in Raw. We've only done this for like 6 months, man.
I'm still looking at Xavier Woods' YouTube page. I'm fascinated now. Dan has got me caught on. This is going to be the new craze. Where do I sink my investment dollars into this Xavier Woods YouTube page?
He's now a YouTube gamer. Xavier Woods.
He is.
In the last 6 hours, he's released 7 YouTube videos.
He is the most prolific YouTuber in history.
Five Nights at Freddy's, FIFA, and 2 channel trailers.
This is simply, it's going to just derail his pursuit of a PhD. Like, ESPN's going to do another 60 by 60, like, follow-up 2 years from now, and he's just going to be, like, he's going to be obese. He's going to be, he's just going to be a mess.
Oh, I should finish my PhD, but oh, well, anyway.
And he still wouldn't have figured out monetization by then. He's just so confused as to why his AdSense has no money in it.
He's climbing a ladder with AdSense dangling off the top. Just trying to get there's money in there.
There's $3.64 in there for 3 months worth of work.
He comes up and someone just kicks it off. Has to be $100 if we collect it. No.
And then Bray Wyatt shows up and
dressed as a butcher for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get into it. Yeah, so Money in the Bank 2015. Yeah, we're in 15.
Yeah, yeah. We're in 15.
It's funny. I was looking at the card here, and I think it's exactly half pure shit and half pretty decent.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah, yes, exactly half pure shit and half decent, yes.
Right, because we had, on one hand, another classic match in my eyes with Cena versus Owens.
Absolutely.
Part 2.
Yep.
I kind of like this. I wanted to see. I thought it had been maybe before the match. I was like, hey, this would be more interesting if they let Owens win the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that wouldn't have done much to hurt Cena, and I thought it would have done a lot to elevate Owens.
Yeah.
But I actually think now in retrospect, the way they handled the post-match sort of beatdown, the powerbomb on the ring apron thing, I kind of like that they did it, because now you see how Owens reacts in defeat.
Yeah, to adversity.
Yeah, exactly. You see what kind of character, you show the broader WWE audience that doesn't watch NXT, perhaps, like what kind of guy we're dealing with here. Because Cena does that stupid good sportsman crap, where he raises his hand and tries to be nice, and Owens reacts the way the character that's true to the character.
Yes.
Kicks him in the balls and power bombs him and laughs, picks up his title and takes out his little fat dick and pees on it and pees on the audience and takes out.
That was a network extra, I believe. Yeah.
It sounds like you're warming up to your Owens and Raw angle too. Like his name's Kevin Stream.
Oh shit.
Damn
okay,
it.
That's
oh,
my new,
God, no.
That's my new one. Yeah.
God, I should have saved that for myself.
I know. Damn. This is the very last, we're going to do the very last going in Owens, and we have a new person that we're going to start booking gimmicks for starting next week.
So tiny fanfare.
That's very exciting. So for me, one of the highlights was Cena versus Owens. What about you guys?
Yeah, that was kind of like the highlight. And the primetime players winning the belt.
I want Cena and Owens to fight every single pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep it going forever. Just indefinitely.
It's strange how well they match up. Mm. I mean, they both obviously 2 matches in a row. They've just fucking killed it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think, like in the past, people have said, Steve, your face kind of looks a bit like John Cena's face. And I've personally said that Kevin Owens reminds me of just a fatter version of me. And so I'm thinking it's because there's 2 Steves in the ring. I know myself so well, that's why the match is so good. Makes perfect sense.
It's just 2 versions of you from parallel universes that collapse.
It's like the version of me who really likes carbs and sugar, and it's the part of me who exercises a lot.
Oh, I think my parallel universe wrestler is Bo Dallas. Damn it. Closest I've
Larson.
Been.
Larson's is R-Truth, I think. Which, we should talk about this a little bit. R-Truth beat King Barrett. What did Wade Barrett do? I've been actually looking this up online
really?
To
wow.
find out.
Was that the
what Wade
one?
Barrett? What did Wade Barrett do to piss off the WWE? I'm really seriously curious about this.
He's English. That's all I've got going for me, because that would explain all the other English wrestlers and how that they could... just get constantly shat on. He didn't salute the flags required 12 times a day for Vince's standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he didn't appreciate the troops that much.
Yeah, he did. He was sort of like, oh, they're right, I suppose. He wasn't like...
is that appreciation for the troops? It's going,
I was shaking my fist enthusiastically in an approving manner.
Oh, in an approving manner. Okay, just making sure about that.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, on the shit side of things, Sheamus won Money in the Bank.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't get that.
Does anyone like Sheamus?
No. I don't get that. At all.
Well, someone in WWE likes him, but I think...
Obviously, somebody really
Triple
likes
H
him.
Triple H might be his only fan, or Vince.
But not a fun wrestler to watch. His character
not
is
at all.
Nothing. Like, beyond the word Irish scrawled in crayon on some piece of paper somewhere, that's his entire character development done. He's just sort of a thing, and he's just... There's nothing... He's come back and lost a lot, and then he goes to this and wins, and everyone's going like, oh, he's the most ultimate threat to the championship right now, because everyone had amnesia and forgot Brock Lesnar existed during this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
The only person in this is my thing about Money in the Bank, the only person this would have made any sense to win would have been Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Because I can almost guarantee, I think Brock is at a point where he's going to go through some program with Seth that's going to try to elevate Seth. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to move on to bigger than title matches. He's going to be like the new, like him and Rock might fight at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so I don't think Brock's going to have the title anytime soon. I'm sorry, Dan. That's how I feel.
I know. And I kind of think they're setting Brock up to return at Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Money in the Bank match, I thought maybe they're going to do something like this. They're going to have Brock, Seth, have Brock beat him at Battleground, then have Reigns, Brock at SummerSlam, and then set that up, and maybe have Sheamus try to cash in pretty quickly, and then have Reigns just beat him anyways. Everything they can do to elevate Reigns. I know, you know, this Wyatt Reigns feud is going to be pretty short.
Yeah.
Reigns is going to go over.
Yeah,
it's all an attempt to build him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the point of Bray then? Again, we say this every time Bray gets into a new feud, because we know
he's enhancement talent now.
Yeah. That's
he's
all
like
he does.
A really high profile job.
But he's just not won enough or done anything really. Like when he came, it was like, that's so cool, and he kind of like did some cool stuff, and now he's just sort of like he's the holding pattern of the WWE. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need you to go there, but we need you to wait a few turns, so if you just go there, then we can wait. It's like fucking trying to play some sort of fucking puzzle game, like an indie puzzle game on Steam, and Bray Wyatt is that piece that you don't really think does anything, but it's actually kind of useful in very rare situations, and it's nobody's favorite piece. I've been playing a lot of Infiniminer. But yes! is that what it's called? Infinifactory? It's something like that. It's Infin something. It's not Infiniminer. That was the one Minecraft was based on. No, it doesn't matter, because Bray Wyatt isn't feuding with that game. Yeah, what? I don't know what I was saying anymore. Somebody else talk. I give up.
I think the problem is he's gonna end up. I can already tell you, like, he's gonna come out and he's gonna talk about how Roman Reigns, you know what, missed his big opportunity at WrestleMania or something like that. Yeah. It's gonna be this weird abstract. There's gonna be nothing on the line here, but yeah, he's gonna be trying to enhance Roman Reigns. I just think that the belt's gonna be traded between. I don't even think Brock's gonna get it at Battleground. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think it's gonna be the belt until probably like, I don't know, SummerSlam of next year. The belt's going to be traded between the three Shield members. I really think that. And then I think after that, Cena's probably going to have his final run or whatever, how many runs he needs to beat Flair's record, and then he's probably going to retire sometime after that.
Because
I don't know. I don't see Cena be around too much longer.
I kind of feel like, though, that the final step of Roman's push to the belt is him ultimately going over Lesnar. That's what was set up back when Lesnar beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
That was all. So whoever conquer the guy who conquered the streak is, you know, like the ultimate badass in WWE, and they were setting it up so Reigns was that guy until
that could be
the fans turned their backs on him by and large.
That could be it.
That's what Bray could do, because that's what Bray tends to do. He's the heel turn tempter. He comes along and goes, oh, you could be a heel, none of these bastards like you, and that could be a fun thing. A heel Roman would be way fun, because then you just need to turn Dean Ambrose heel and you can get the Shield back together. Job done. Make them all bastards to each other. Yes. Or is Seth now like some sort of super heel? I never know how that works. Because there's goodies and baddies, and the baddies always team up, no matter how many betrayals have happened between them.
Yeah.
So it's always quite confusing of who's right. Just look at the Bellas for confusion in that regard.
Oh, yeah, that's just the ultimate confusion. Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, we don't have to if we don't really want to.
I have one damn note for Bellas versus Paige, and it's just the word, ugh.
Yeah,
I have the exact same note for Ryback Big Show as well, so...
I mean, the thing about the Divas match, it really kind of bummed me out, because not because I love Paige and she lost. It was because last week Paige was talking about, like, you know, I'm so tired of the same thing. It really felt to me like she was teasing somebody from NXT coming up to sort of reboot the Divas division.
Yeah.
And I thought that going over Nikki Bella, maybe with the assistance of like a Charlotte or a Sasha Banks or whatever, could possibly, or if all four, like, you know, Becky Lynch, Sasha, Bayley, and Charlotte, if they all came in and just started destroying the Bellas, that'd have been kind of cool.
That'd have been awesome. Yeah.
That would have been really neat. And it's like, holy crap, now we're loaded. Now we're ready to go. But instead, it was just another wonky finish. And maybe they were just paying tribute to Dusty Rhodes or something. Because that was a dusty finish. That's what they used to call it back when he was booking things, a dusty finish. Because, that was bunk. I don't think anybody expected much from Big Show and Ryback.
Nope. I didn't even know that was a match. As soon as they announced it, I was like, oh, I can go check out what happened with Fallout 4. I don't care about Fallout 4, but, you know, we can see.
It's good to keep up. I was very happy. I think Lars and I were both very happy about the primetime players going over the New Day. I was kind of surprised about that. I figured that the New Day would have a longer run, but I was
very... Yeah, I would too.
I was very happy with the primetime players. I love those guys.
That feels a bit back and forthy to me. I think they're going to ship it back to them and then
you're probably
back
right
and,
about yeah. that. Yeah, you're probably
again,
right about
holding
that.
Again, holding Patton until the Usos come back and then win everything again.
The worst. Every single month, I forget about that and then you remind me.
The Usos are a thing and
they are a thing.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Voodoo magic, Dan. That's what I'm going to do. Voodoo magic. Let's see here. Where are we at? And then Seth Rollins, the main event.
That was a great match.
Okay, and just to sort of like full disclosure, I didn't have the sound on for any of this. I was actually watching the NBA Finals game on the big screen, and then on the littler screen, I was watching Money in the Bank, and then on my laptop, I was watching Fallout 4. So I think
that's sensory overload.
You were living in Back to the Future 2, where they have all the TV screens at the same time.
It was ridiculous, but I'm like, this is all very important stuff in my life. So, and then I went for a very long walk after that and just completely decompressed. The main event, it seemed pretty cool though. Like, right. I didn't like, sometimes you need the sound for, I need Michael Cole to tell me that I'm watching a good match for me to understand.
Fuck Michael Cole. It pissed me off so much.
See, you remind me of the Usos and I always have to remind you about Michael Cole.
I really want the network to just have an alternate commentary option so you can listen to the Spanish guys instead of the American guys, and I would listen to the Spanish guys. I wouldn't know a fucking word they said, but it would be vastly superior. Vastly superior.
I can guarantee you, if you spoke Spanish, they're probably fucking amazing. Those same two guys have been doing it for I don't know how long now, but you know they're probably fantastic.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It really bums me out because my mom is actually of Latino origin, and so she elected not to teach me Spanish growing up, even though she's fluent. That's like her first language, and that for this reason alone, that kind of bums me out. So I need to remember to yell at my mom. Thanks, Mom. I have to deal with Michael Cole and not.
And it's all your fault.
It's all your fault, Mom. So was the main event. The main event, it looked pretty brutal. Like there were a lot of chairs and stuff.
It was a great solid. It's what you really want from like a current day ladder match, really. Yeah. I mean, especially for a non-blood one as well.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the crowd. Well, granted, I was watching it with the sound really low, so maybe I didn't get the full impact of the crowd response. But the crowd seemed kind of
body language was very unputted.
Yeah.
They weren't even guessing or chanting CM Punk or anything.
No, none of that.
They kept on putting their hands up in the air, but they weren't yessing. I mean, I had the sound.
They
down,
were trying to order peanuts from a guy walking past.
Their hands were almost making contact with each other as if they were clapping, but I never heard the impact of those claps.
The impact of clap. Granted, I had it on mute, but still, I'm assuming they didn't.
Just, you know, like two notches above mute.
It was basically mute, though. I guess it depends on the TV.
It was loud enough to hear the commentary, but not the crowd reaction.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know, it's the worst volume level there is.
Pain.
So it seemed like you know, it was a ladder match, but not what you would normally expect from him, because it wasn't a whole lot of high spots, like, you know, diving off the ladder and whatnot.
Right.
No, there was a couple moments, but
it worked really well because it was a hell of a long match. I think they actually hit like 40 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and it was really, yeah. It was built to be a grueling story of two people, yeah, who just wanted to kick the shit out of each other. So it wasn't lots of.
That's
high
what
spots,
I got out
of
it. Yeah.
Definitely,
spots.
Definitely.
Really, it was great
more old school.
Yeah.
It was more old school because, absolutely, you know, yeah, Seth was working the knee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ambrose had to overcome.
There were some pretty gnarly spots too, like the power bomb. Was it a power bomb against the railing?
Was, yeah, the, yeah, he did two of those.
Yeah,
yeah,
he did two
and
of
the power bomb on the ladder on the chairs.
Man, yeah.
But we have discovered something, because Ambrose was about to get the title and Seth hits him with one of the monitors from the table,
yes,
which means that Ambrose's weakness is televisions. Televisions will destroy Dean Ambrose no matter what he does. They are his weakness. It's a dodgy ending. I wasn't a fan of the ending because the rules state that whoever like takes it off, and I thought they were going to do something interesting. They didn't. They're just like, and Seth wins, even though they both put it,
oh,
at,
yeah,
the same
it,
time.
It made me want. Yeah, it made me wonder if they were going to address that tonight. But I kind of liked it. I thought, you know what? I thought this was obviously a way to get Seth. To give Seth some credibility, mm-hmm, a little bit, you know?
And he needed it, yeah.
And they don't do that nearly. I can't remember the last time they did this with a cowardly heel, because every single Rollins match these days is obviously interrupted by J&J or Kane.
Yeah.
And so this was obviously his sort of, you know, Ambrose is a super legitimate threat, and they made it as close as possible in the result in terms of, like, when they're at the top of the ladder, both, yeah, their hands are on the belt. And when they got to the bottom, only Seth held on to it. So, yeah, I don't know. It seemed like it could be either way. It could have been the kind of thing where Ambrose, where they were both supposed to have it when they were down on the ground, and it was botched. I tend to think that it looked like Ambrose sort of pulled his hand away from the belt by the time they got to the ground. And so it gave Seth the legitimate victory, which is, I think, was what they were going for.
Because, and what Seth needed, too.
Yeah, I know, because Lesnar's coming back. I think they said he might be coming back tonight.
Set Lesnar's return up in that at the end of that, because they brought someone out to do a quick promo on the top of the stairs.
I know.
And
I
it was
know.
Like, I'm the greatest champion ever. And there's me like, this is the point where Brock's music hits. And Seth just turns around and go, second best champion ever.
Yeah. I kind of thought, I was half expecting it. There was a part of me who was expecting it. There was one spot towards the end of the Money in the Bank match. I think maybe it was before Bray showed. I forget. When I was like, I wonder if... Or no, maybe it was actually during the main event. I thought there was one spot that seemed like there was a lull, and I was like, this would be the perfect time for Brock's music to hit.
Oh, no. It was during Seth versus Dean, because they were both, like, kind of dead.
Okay.
But
I thought Sheamus
was going to run in straight away. I thought they were going to do a Sheamus cash-in really quickly.
I thought we were going to have Brock... come out and just hang out to fuck with Seth, and then Ambrose gets the win, perhaps. I thought something like that was going to happen, but of course it didn't. And again, like when he was up there at the top of the thing, I was like, at that point, I figured it'd be Sheamus to come out. I don't know. I just don't see, that's not going to, there's so many other people.
In that
match, at least,
there was like, everybody else, because literally, I tweeted while before it started, I was like, who do you ask who you want to win? I was like, Orton or Neville, or to be perfectly honest, anyone but Sheamus was my result.
If you look at the main event scene, you have Ambrose, Reigns, Lesnar, and then of course Rollins, and there's probably two or three other people. I mean, Cena is always sort of, you know, hovering.
Yeah,
he's always ready to go if need be. There's five people. And then, but Sheamus is firmly in, like, Dolph Ziggler, Neville. I mean,
mid-card.
He's firmly mid-card. And I honestly see, I mean, we can make a bet about this right now. I could see him being, what is it, like the third guy ever to lose his Money in the Bank to not get the championship.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I think is going to happen, is he'll go up against Reigns and Reigns will beat him.
Or, yeah, you're probably right about that. I could see that. You're probably right. Like, have Roman, just have him be, you know, at his lowest, and then Sheamus comes out and he still beats him.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this before? Just the simple fact that Roman Reigns is allowed to wear a fucking bulletproof vest? Like, You get punched, like, on your bare chest. It's going to hurt a lot more if you have a fucking vest on.
Yeah,
but it'll hurt the person's hands who's doing the punching, too. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I mean, Roman, he has an unfair advantage.
Yeah,
I agree.
There's no real costume rules, though. I mean, you could come out just in the fucking mech armor from Fallout 4. There you go,
you could totally do that. Yeah.
I mean, when Cody Rhodes, as we saw in Money in the Bank 2011, had the face mask on,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you punch him in the face, it's going to hurt your hand. I mean, it hurt his face, too, but...
Yeah, that's the thing, though. He's already got a busted-up face. So that, I mean, that's not really going to help him that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be behind Roman Reigns if he had a costume change. Easy to please.
If he did like one of those like leapy where you go sideways and slam them, technically would that be sort of like almost a chair shot if he's just hitting them with bulletproof vest? Would that get him DQ'd?
No.
It's like nobody thinks these rules through. That's what I'm saying.
It's as if there's no logic in wrestling. It's as if they're not trying to make it look like it's real.
So, right, who was in that ladder match? There was Orton, who could easily be the Money in the Bank champion. Neville, who could get massively pushed by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd be sort of that, like, be the sort of person who's always going, "Ooh, I could get you at any moment," but he could definitely...
He'd be like when RVD had it.
Yeah, I don't know when RVD had it, but I think it'd be more of a, "I'm going to cash in now and face you face to face. I'll cash this in at this point," sort of thing. Kane could have it. It just seems like one of the other horror stories of it. Ziggler, I'd love, and I think Ziggler could easily be champion, because I think Ziggler fits in with the guys who currently have it. I think Ziggler versus Seth would be spectacular. Kofi would be interesting, but I'm not entirely sold on. A lot of people kind of want to... Actually, with the New Day, I think it would become very interesting. Reigns would be obvious but fun, especially because of the storytelling you can do with Seth. But Sheamus is just there.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Like, I think Reigns, that's why I wanted Reigns to win. I'm like, you know what? It's legitimate. It'll give him something else to do. We'll see what else he can do with something like that. Mm. As opposed to just what he's been doing. I mean, these days, I actually don't mind him these because he's just sort of the buddy of Dean Ambrose. Like, he's just sort of hanging out with... They're drinking beers together and stuff.
I love him like this so much more than I've ever done it before. His best gimmick is just being Dean Ambrose's friend.
I know. And he sort of, he laughs all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of thing is going to, like, is making really good headway for getting him over.
Yeah. Loser buys the beers. He's fantastic. Yeah, where was this Roman a few months ago?
They were just, I'm telling you, they're going down the, well, I guess they've sort of strayed, but the original, the Rock, his original gimmick, like just the babyface good guy that the WWE's pushing to hell or pushing, you know, to the stars and the moon or whatever. And it just didn't work. Mm. So now they're just hey, just go out there and be yourself. He's like, "Well, I like to drink beer, and I like Dean Ambrose. He's my friend." Okay, fine, that's good.
that's a great gimmick.
That's your character now.
Yeah, that's better than Sheamus' gimmick of just, "I'm Irish." Okay, well, that's that one. I really like the opening of the ladder match with Kofi. They all start battling, and Kofi just looks around. And he's like, "All right," and he just sets a ladder up and tries to do it like stealthily, like assuming no one's gonna notice him putting up a giant fracking ladder. I thought that was really good. But the
match is always fun. Yeah,
Neville's Red Arrow had a really beautiful crowd effect because he started going up there and people started standing up to get a better view of it, but because they didn't all do it at the same time, it looked really interesting. And so he's standing there just waiting, and all the crowd are slowly standing up, and it felt like, "Oh, holy shit, this is a big thing. That is so cool for a finisher."
Yeah, it looked like they were all doing the wave.
It was like a slow sort of like a do-do-do-do-do. It felt like...
everybody's realizing, oh my God, this is about to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like everybody was forgetting what gravity was.
So this was like the perfectly even, like exactly half of these were bathroom breaks.
Yes.
And half of them were must watch. So
yes, with shit endings. Apart from Cena Owens, I quite like the ending of that. I think that went really well.
That was good. They did all their spots. I loved that match. That was a really good match.
It was really good.
They could listen to a match every single time. Every pay-per-view, Cena Owens, I'd watch it.
It seemed like they saved some of their spots. They didn't do them last time, and they saved them for this match, which I liked.
Yes. Yeah. That was kind of cool. I can't wait to see the ones they save for the next match. That'll be
cool. Yeah. all right, so anyways, that was Money in the Bank.
One more thing.
Yeah, one more thing.
Because it is a scene move. The flip, I don't even know how to explain it.
Oh, when
that flip thing.
Oh, that's right. That was cool.
There's a guy, in I think he used to be in TNA and the indie circuit. I can't remember his name, but he did a move like that called the Canadian Destroyer, I think. But it's a flip into a pile driver.
It's pretty cool. Geez.
Which obviously they won't do in WWE, so I guess they modified it so it's a flip into the powerbomb. But yeah, it's a pretty cool
incredible
move.
That was superb. That
was rad. And I know, it's crazy. Like, it is really crazy how Kevin Owens can do moves when he's got, like, a giant tire around his belly. Although I liked the super kick because it was like sort of a super kick to the like sort of lower intestine area.
Yeah,
because he can't quite reach. Can't. Sorry, you know, there's some things you just can't do, Owens. I'm sorry. There's some things you can't do.
Yes. I swallowed a very large amount of air there and nearly died. That was hilarious.
Uh-oh.
I know. Oh, and there was a pop-up power bomb during a replay, which really pissed me off. They cut to a replay of something, and then, like, in the corner, you see him getting proper power bombs. So I was like, wait, what?
Okay, now, I understand this was, like, I think this was during the... This is weird, because R-Truth versus Barrett, I was half watching this, because I think
pre-show.
The game
yeah,
hadn't started yet.
Wasn't it?
That was pre-show. Yeah. But they cut to, like, a commercial for Tough Enough during the match, which is weird, because I'm looking at this, and it says the match is only 5 minutes and 41 seconds long. Mm-hmm. So... And number two, you're on the WWE Network. Why are you cutting to it? You don't have to cut to commercial during a match if it's on your network.
Yeah. It's like, you should get the network. We have the network. That's why we're watching this.
And you should watch Tough Enough. Okay. If I'm watching R-Truth versus Barrett, I'm probably going to watch every piece of crap you're going to throw at us. I like wrestling a lot if I'm watching R-Truth versus Barrett. So, yeah, I'm going to watch all your weird, grainy, like... vertical video fucking Tough Enough contestants.
Devastation that Keith Ackerberry didn't get in there. Oh man.
he actually auditioned, I didn't know that.
Oh, that would have been the best damn thing. Like his audition video was just hilarious.
They really should do like a supplementary series of like the worst of them and just bring them out as like a comedic thing.
But
like,
I really think that he is, because of the stuff that he does,
called
the stuff that Nathan Barnett does, is really physical. I think he would
be
a perfect comedy wrestler.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he is skinny and weird looking, and it's something that they don't have, but he really is. Like, he can do really.
Skinny
like,
and weird
he's
looking.
Skinny and weird looking with a six pack, which makes it even weirder. And you see the stuff that he does, and you're like, yeah, that guy would actually be absolutely fantastic as a comedy wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, Vince, you should hire him. I know you listen, clearly.
Obviously, he's listening to the show.
Yeah, of course. Get Keith Ackerberry, get Nathan Barnett on WWE, because I think he would be absolutely terrific.
Book it, Vince.
Book it. God damn.
At least put him in NXT.
Then again, Vince does listen to us because of Sheamus. That's proof. Sheamus is proof that there is like the equivalent of proof there is no God. This Vince doesn't listen, and Sheamus is the proof that Vince doesn't listen.
Well, this seemed like a pay-per-view where half the matches were booked by Triple H, and the other half were booked by...
Yeah,
Vince.
It totally does. It really does.
We'll split
them down the middle, Paul. Sounds great,
first
Dad.
Half, you get the last half.
Sounds good, Dad. Thanks. We can have dinner tonight.
Yes.
I could do that forever.
Keep going. I'm genuinely enthralled. Keep going.
I'd love to, but we have to get through this because what's coming up next? EA? Was that what we're going to do?
Yeah,
it's
at 1, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the next thing EA is in an hour.
Let's see here. My mind is still blown by the... I still want to see... I want the HoloLens thing, but I want it for like a WWE game so I could just sit back and watch my table with wrestlers competing. That'd be great.
That would be awesome. Great.
Like an elimination
chamber. That'd be even better if you actually went to a pay-per-view and it was shitty and you could just broadcast your own game.
You can book your own pay-per-view as the pay-per-view was happening.
That would be great.
So it's time for our book of the match.
Yes.
We did a different Money in the Bank. This one, 2011.
It's fantastic. I'm so glad we watched something great this time.
I know. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. And it's funny because for as dramatic as the main event was, the poster for Money in the Bank 2011 is a shot of the Big Show and it's funny. Okay, I want both of you guys to pull this up because this is bizarre. We just talked about this.
Yeah,
it looks like they're using HoloLens.
It does.
Because
remember that book thing that the PS4 or PS4?
That's what it does look like. Yeah, Big Show and Hornswoggle using the HoloLens in their pajamas. They did a good job with the promo package for Cena Punk, though.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
and it just made me miss Punk. Like, to be honest, it just made me miss Punk. That guy was so fucking cool.
Yeah. I haven't seen a huge amount of Punk because he sort of left just a year of him. I got him feuding with Paul Heyman,
mm-hmm.
which was good for the promos. So great for the matches. But that was this was nice to see Punk in his prime, and I was there going, wow, this was exceptional. Except
yeah,
Cole.
Well, yeah.
This whole era was ruined by Cole. Fuck Cole.
Yeah, I know. Cole. He's the worst. They really need to have him dead. Like, kill him and bring in. I love Corey Graves. I want Corey Graves to be the new. I don't know if he's I think he's more of a color guy, but I like that guy a lot. I want him on on the main whatever in the commentary booth.
Yeah. That table. Would be lovely.
Whatever it is. Anyways, let's see here. Obviously, the high spot of this was, really the only thing you really needed to watch on this was CM Punk versus Cena.
Yeah.
This is obviously coming off.
Ever.
Coming off the heels of CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb thingy, which was just fucking fantastic. And then there was so much legitimate anger and frustration. And the great backstory to this is the fact that coming into the pay-per-view like that night, apparently, allegedly, he still hadn't signed a contract, so they still didn't have a finish. Mm. And then it was pre-show or something like that, that he finally signed a 3-year deal. And
it was during the pay-per-view itself.
It was during the pay-per-view itself that he signed a deal, and then they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And my only problem with how they booked after this, there was a couple things, but when he left with the belt, they should have had that entire summer of him showing up in, Ring of Honor, not TNA, because nobody wants TNA, but, Japan, companies that are sort of friendly with WWE. That would have been fucking awesome. Instead, I think he just showed up at Comic-Con or something and then came back the next week. But that would have been really, really cool. But otherwise, the match was just, again, Cena, when he's motivated, when he has something really cool to work with, he can hang and have a great match with pretty much anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a multiplier. If something is going to be good, he will make it better. If something's going to be shitty, it makes it worse. He's ginger hair. That's what he is. Something's attractive, ginger hair will make it more attractive. If something isn't attractive, ginger hair will ruin it. We all know this.
It makes it disgusting. Yeah, absolutely. let's see. What are other highlights, though?
The SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match was pretty good.
Yeah. That was a great match. It had scary Kane. It had a Kane that was fire and brimstone. And not
that's
wearing
why
slacks.
I liked,
it was good.
That's why I like taking a look at shit that was just kind of recent, but not that recent.
Yeah.
Because it totally is alternate universe type shit.
Yeah, it's great. This is my favorite ones to sort of rewatch. Because I know the people. I'm like, hey, I know these things. And that's good.
Yeah.
But the problem with this is that Cole is just a dickhead. And I keep going on about it. But Cole constantly calling Brian a nerd.
Oh, just, that's
just
right.
Just
going,
oh, who knows about this? And just constantly just shitting on Brian. As you're going, I just want to take you forward in time 3 years and then punch you in the face.
I know. And it was he doesn't watch TV. He used to harp on him not watching TV. I'm like, that's the stupidest. I didn't get. And they never did anything with that.
Yeah.
They never did anything with Cole. At least book something with Cole and Brian. I don't know what to do with it. It's just
Well, that was towards the tail end of the heel Cole, wasn't it?
I thought the heel Cole ended. Obviously it didn't. But I thought the heel Cole thing ended at the previous
WrestleMania.
Wasn't it the previous WrestleMania?
That's when he and Lawler had that match, but it kind of petered off.
Oh, God, I'm having flashbacks. I've remembered that match. Oh, no.
Well, you brought up the Usos earlier, so you deserve that.
You brought up Michael Cole area. This is me.
We're still talking about him. It's a disproportionate response. I'm sorry. So Alberto Del Rio, though, won that one SmackDown match. So, and then I think, he did. He cashed in on Punk, I think. That was always the weird thing about the Punk Cena.
No, Alberto Del Rio was the Raw one.
The Raw one, yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he did
won
cash
it
in on Punk.
Daniel Bryan,
yeah.
and then what happened? I think Daniel Bryan ended up. Did he cash in? How did that all go down?
I don't remember. He had it for a while, but he eventually cashed in. Yeah, because then Sheamus beat him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, in 10 seconds or something.
18 seconds. Yeah.
My Sheamus he's just a cancer to the WWE. Everything bad. Him and Cole and the Usos.
Yeah. Let's get
slice
rid of all
them
of them
out.
That's
Let's
what
just get
do.
Rid of all.
Just
them.
Replace them with people from NXT. That's what you should do.
Let's see here.
Send them off. There was it's great how you have like a reaction built into yourself, because when the like a Pavlovian reaction, because when the when the pay-per-view started up and everyone was chatting CM Punk, I was like, oh, shut the fuck up. I was like, oh wait, no, he's in this. Like, he's still around. That's fine.
They're being enthusiastic and not spiteful. What a surprise.
There was Big Show versus Mark Henry.
Yeah, no. Big Show knocked out Henry before the bell. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page. This was not like sort of in my periphery until Cena Punk came on, I'll be honest with you.
The first ladder match, I like this sentence
here on Wikipedia. The feud between Big Show and Mark Henry started on SmackDown when Big Show was forced to face Henry in a match. Big Show knocked out Henry before the bout began, creating a rivalry between the two. Like, that's just there's no story there. Big Show was forced to face him in a match.
That's notes. That's what that is.
That's your job. What do you mean forced to face him in a match? You're supposed to face people in a match. There's no forcing. Big Show.
Mark, because I said world's strongest man more than I've ever heard it said in my entire life during that match. Mark, because I always call Mark Henry the world's strongest man. Like, was he in a competition to get that at some point? And does he
used to? Yes, he was in strongman competitions.
Well, no, he used to hold the world record for strong deadlift. Yeah, for strong.
Strong.
He's a Guinness World Record holder for strong.
A really strong mint. It's just, yeah. Just don't even define what kind of strong.
He used to be an Olympic weightlifter, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. But does that mean he's lying on his CV and like to Vince? He's like, yeah, I'm still the world's strongest man. And just hopes Vince hasn't worked out how to use Google yet.
I think it's like president, where once you're a president, you can always be called Mr. President.
Right, exactly.
So once he was dubbed the world's strongest man, he will forever be the world's strongest man.
I was president of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Society at my university. Can you all start calling me Mr. President now? That's a lie. Yeah, I wasn't, but I could have been.
Aw. I was about to also. This is a sad day.
I wheeled you in and then took it away.
And then Brie Bella had the Chief Divas Championship. She lost it to Kelly Kelly. What the fuck?
No, Kelly Kelly was a champion.
Oh, that Kelly Kelly was a champion. I'm looking at the behind the scenes or the backstory here.
That match just stopped. It just stopped. It was like going on and then it just stopped. And I was like, oh, it stopped? I build Lego when I'm watching this sort of thing. And normally I clock, if I'm sort of like half watching a match, I normally clock when it ends and I look up and go, oh, that's what happened. But I was just sort of like building something. I looked up and they were walking off. I was like, it ended? I had to go back and check. I was like, oh, no, yeah, that definitely ended at that point there. So that was the thing.
I love reading these Wikipedia entries for wrestling because they're so ridiculous. On the July 8th episode of SmackDown, Christian's lawyers in the storyline added a stipulation to a match that if Orton was disqualified or if there was poor officiating, he would lose the title to Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate when they do lawyers and stuff. It's so bad.
Well, I hate whenever Christian's in a championship match.
I know. He had like a really, really, really short... He had like two reigns and they were really... I think one of them was literally like a day, like less than 24 hours, and the other one was like maybe a week or something. Yeah, I never bought him, besides when he was teaming with Edge, that he was actually really cool. Hmm. But as a singles guy, like Edge, I got. Like Edge, I believe. There was no believability issue that Steve was dealing with. With Christian, he's so thin. So normal looking. It's like, seriously, it's like Larson being champion. Yeah. I would love to see it because he's great.
But I don't deserve it.
It's not very believable, is it now? I don't deserve it. Oh, man. Anyways,
the Orton versus Christian match. He spits at him to make him go crazy. And then they show the replay and the spit goes in his mouth.
Oh, God.
And I immediately went, no, I understand exactly why Orton was mad. Because I was like, oh, that's a bit of a weird way to piss Orton off. And then I watched the replay. I was like, nope, well done. That is distinctly a... Oh. There was a really, really... As Orton was leaving, there was a really nice shot of him looking particularly miffed. But he was being lit by the Money in the Bank stuff. So he had, like, his eyes were sort of, like, just liquid green, but nothing else. It looked really cool. The directing was way better in this pay-per-view than it is in the current ones we watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what was different about it, but it felt really just sort of, like, there were a lot of shots that actually looked like really nicely shots, just not like a guy who's scrambling to get the camera as close as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, like, it felt storyboarded in places, which was really quite a weird feeling.
I tend to feel it wouldn't surprise me if the production staff at the WWE probably has a high turnaround rate.
Oh, yeah.
because I would think that it's...
Especially
it's
the road crew.
Probably a really, really super demanding gig, and probably with... Like, it's one of those things that it's like, oh, it seems like it'd be really, really cool to do this, and then it probably is just horribly, like, soul-sucking.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that, but I think I'm probably right.
About most things as well. We exactly know your secrets. You'll know about everything. You're right about everything. You'll know about everything? But I'm Brian. I've been talking for 3 hours already.
There's too much, there so much sensory overload. I'm still trying to process the HoloLens, damn it.
Oh, it's that Gears of War trailer that was completely shot in darkness. I really like. It's just, yeah.
We can, like before,
we can hit 60 FPS if we only render black pixels. It's how we do it.
It's funny, before, like when they were doing that HoloLens thing, I was like, oh my god, they have a camera from that guy's mind's point of view. And then I was like, oh, they just rigged the holo. Okay, I get it. They have the camera. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You thought the guy had cameras for eyes?
I thought he had a GoPro in his head. Yeah.
That was a bad accident. It's a bad snowboarding accident, but he got a great job out of it.
It's amazing, yeah. It's like
There was a superb botch in the Raw ladder match right at the end, where you have Del Rio unmasks Mysterio, and then the ladder just slowly falls over. And they're both trying to subtly recover it and then manically recover it, but it's going, and they know there's nothing they can do about it. It's a beautiful moment. So just, it was the speed as well. It was just this perfectly slow. It's like when sort of like you've got an elderly relative and you can just see them just leaning back a bit too far on a garden chair for the singer, and they're just,
you know, the fall's going
to
happen.
Yeah, at
you
some
do
point
to stop
that,
it.
Yeah. There is a point of no return at that point, and you're not going to interfere because fuck it. But you know you're going to enjoy the way down. Yeah, that's
because it's probably their time anyways.
Yeah, it's their time. But yeah, no, the Cena versus CM Punk was a spectacular match. Yeah. Absolutely spectacular. It sort of had a lot of parallels with the Cena Kevin Owens stuff.
Because
Kevin Owens
totally,
is sort of ripping him in for the same sort of things, and they are having exceptional matches.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Owens could be the next CM Punk. That's my thing. I think that's how they're gonna try and do stuff with him.
I think he definitely has the same intensity. Like I love Owens on the mic.
I think he's got a bit more. I think actually, instead of saying this will be changed when Vince is dead, he would just kill Vince. He would just do one of his pop-up power bombs.
This will be changed when I kill Vince.
Yeah. He's doing that while holding a big like sack and a shovel as well. Just that he does that. On his own.
And an old car he just bought at the used car lot for cash.
Yeah, with just a fucking gas canister in the back. Just filled some matches next to it. It's like, yeah, well, so when I kill Vince in approximately 24 and a half minutes, I will 30 if he runs. That's the level.
I hope they keep on playing up sort of the... Because they've sort of hinted a little bit. Maybe more than hinted, but like Kevin Owens going off about how he was in the indies for 15 years before he finally got his shot. And I love that because it's like he's so bitter because everybody else, like far less deserving than him, sort of has their spot. And he's like, screw you. NXT is sort of where it's at. This is my belt. It's the best belt. And I just got here and it took a long time for me to get here. I love that he's using the fact that his son loves Cena. I love that shit. There's a lot to like about Owens.
He's been in the business for a long time, which it's nice because he's coming in. He's not sort of he's fresh to everyone, but he knows how to do everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
which means that's sort of the
and
best.
And Punk was kind of the same way too, because Punk had a pretty long career before he even stepped foot in the WWE.
There was a Punk moment in the Cena versus CM Punk that I have to mention, which is the crowd's chanting "You can't wrestle." Match, and he turns around and points and goes, "What, me?" And then he goes, and then the crowd like Bernie points to Cena and they cheer. And he goes, "Okay, good, right, okay." So, like, he's understood. That is, no one does that. No one was as CM Punk-y as CM Punk.
The shot there at the end of the Punk Cena match is like one of the most iconic when he kisses the belt or he kisses Cena goodbye or whatever he has. It's Vince because Vince was out there.
He blows
the kiss to Vince. And then he takes off through the crowd. I mean, that was like just a flipping mark out moment right there. And then, like I said, it'd been so cool if they had him show up
Well, they did some teasing on his Twitter. I think he posted a picture of the belt in his fridge.
Yeah, and he like him hanging out with Colt Cabana, who I think might have been Ring of Honor at the time.
Yeah.
I just wish that like how cool would have been if it was like 2 months and it was just him like roaming the world, like showing up in different promotions with the belt. Mm-hmm. That would have been fucking rad. That would have been so cool. But instead, like everything else, you know, you have a really cool moment and then it's a bunch of shit afterwards. His eventual like 400-day reign, I thought that was really cool though. Like he did really great heel work during that time, especially when he was with Heyman. Mm-hmm. It was definitely Punk at sort of his hottest. And it's like, you know, I don't know how much more like it's funny looking at sort of the roster and especially Daniel Bryan specifically. Like, I'm not sure obviously if Punk was still around, I don't think Daniel Bryan would have ended up blowing up the way he did. So it might be just kind of beneficial that he took off. I don't know. It makes me wonder if Punk is ever going to be back or not after his UFC, after he gets literally destroyed and murdered. Like if somebody's able to revive him after 10 seconds in a cage with an actual fighter, then maybe he'll come back. I don't know.
We all have such faith in our beloved CM Punk.
I think he's a fantastic pro wrestler, but as everybody on our Twitter feeds that isn't into this show will remind us, wrestling is fake. It's not real fighting.
Aww. You mean those backyard CGI? Wrestling. Oh, that ladder look is just HoloLens. That's all it is.
It is. They're all as you ropes. Can see in the poster for Money in the Bank 2011.
Exactly. No, that was Wonder Book. But yeah, anyway.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Wonder Book.
Written by J.K. Rowling. That's why that was so good. That's why Money in the Bank 2011 was so good. It was actually a Harry Potter spinoff.
Yeah.
True story.
I think it might be time for the very last. The very
Owens
final. Owens in Raw. Yeah.
I have a story about mine.
Awesome. So, let's hear it.
So, instead of actually having a story for the name, I have a story for how I came up with it. Because, like, so when I go, I have a notebook that I fill with thousands and thousands of words. I come up with ideas, and I write them all in my notebook. And that's how, like, when I'm going to bed, I will always sit in my notebook for a few hours and write stuff. I will just write and write and write. That's just how I deal with stuff. And I was trying to think of a fun story for this final one, for a Kevin Steen sort of thing, or Kevin Owens sort of thing. And I couldn't get anything because I was trying to go for the biggest, best thing that we could have, and I was really struggling to get for anything. And then a few deleted scenes later, I woke up the next morning and obviously fall asleep writing. I do that a lot. And I looked at my book and there was something in my book that I can't remember writing, but I've taken up a whole page of this and it's circled and triple underlined. And I don't ever remember coming up with it, but apparently I decided that Kevin Mexican Jumping Bean was exactly what I needed, and that was the right answer. But I have no recollection of writing that. But Kevin Mexican Jumping Bean, I think writes itself.
I love that. I want to go next because I just came up with mine off of yours, Dan. So anyways, WWE, like Owens is, you know, part of the main roster. They do their little tours and whatnot, and they head over to Europe. And they go to England, and Kevin Owens has never been to England. In all his travels, oddly, he's never been to England. But he goes there, and you know, in their off time, he sort of sits in his room. Everybody else goes to the gym. We know Owens doesn't do that, so he just hangs out in his room, orders a couple of crates of donuts, and he sits there in his bed. And he's like, let me check out some of this British television here. Let's check out the BBC and ITV and all that kind of stuff, whatever it's called. And then so he turns on, he's like, oh, this is cool stuff. I like this, you know. I forget some of the names of the show. They got Bottom was one of them, right, Dan? I think Bottom was one. Yes. I love the Young Ones back in the day. That was my favorite. And then he comes upon this show, and it's Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
Rowan Atkinson. Yes.
Rowan Atkinson. Thank you. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, look at this. I like this guy. Maybe I'll be Kevin Rowan's. No, wait. Even better, Kevin Bean. And then he comes out and he just has the worst English accent. And he just completely gets buried and nobody likes him anymore because the WWE hates British wrestlers. And he wins King of the Ring first, and then he's Kevin King, and then he gets written off television. And he goes to Japan. So there you go. He goes back to England because he loves it so much, and he starts wrestling for the Indies there, and he hooks up with Drew McIntyre, and that's their story.
I like that. I love the ending. It's a good ending, yeah.
Larson, you're up.
All right. As good as Kevin's stream was earlier, I'm going to go with my originally planned one. When Kevin Steen's on the indie circuit, he's thinking about, you know, I need a character for my wrestling persona.
Yeah.
What's something I like to do? I like to eat. But a guy that just eats isn't that interesting, so I need to be like a world travel guy, like Anthony Bourdain, like a guy who travels the world, or at least the country, and samples local fare and criticizes it or lauds it, stuff like that. So his gimmick is that he'll go to that town, mm-hmm. he'll shoot a little video package of trying some local fare, and then when he goes out into the ring, he'll do a promo, either saying, "This was great," or generally saying, "The food here is crap." and so his name, this is all in the indie circuit, uh-huh. is Kevin Cuisine. And so, of course, Triple H calls and says, "I love Kevin Cuisine. He's great. But I don't know if your body type is really suited for NXT.
Yeah.
And so Kevin Owens thinks about it some more and goes, "Okay, instead of just doing local fare, I'll do like raw food and organic food, and I'll change my name to Kevin Lean." And so he's a huge success on NXT, promoting a healthy lifestyle and healthy eating. And so, you know, he has a meeting with Vince. Vince wants to bring him up to the main roster. And Vince says, "Well, you know, I love Kevin Lean. I love Kevin Cuisine. But I think there's a good marketing opportunity combining the two." So he makes his main roster debut as Kevin Lean Cuisine. And they tie in his whole character to the line of diet food.
Kevin Lean Cuisine.
Oh, God.
That was terrible. Well done. Well done, everybody. That was our final going in Owens.
Owens and Raw.
Owens and Raw. We have an announcement to make.
Da, da,
yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Starting, what's the next one? Battleground? Is that what it is?
Yeah, in 5 weeks.
All right, in 5 weeks, Dan will be back.
Woo.
And we have our newest segment. We have to book. We have to figure out what the name is going to be.
Will this be Going in Rows?
Adam Rose is currently completely useless. He needs a reboot.
Yeah.
He needs new gimmicks.
Yeah.
So we're going to provide those gimmicks. And Vince, if you're listening, Paul Levesque, if you're listening, we're going to have Going in Rows.
Oh, noes, Adam Rose.
Oh, noes, Adam Rose. Oh, noes, Adam Rose. There you go. I love it. That's what we're going to do next time around. We should probably decide. Larson, do you have any suggestions for the next book of the match?
What classic battlegrounds have there been?
Yeah.
Man. Wow. How long have we been doing this for? How long have we been doing this for now? It's been a fair...
Well, since last September, October.
I think for the one-year anniversary, we should do the first pay-per-view that I ever saw, which was the WrestleMania something.
All right. That sounds good.
I've booked that one there. I planned one. I finally planned one. But the next one, I don't know what we'll do. That's up to you, America. I mean, Steve.
let's give it some thought.
Okay.
We'll give it some. I really want something with Lex Luger in it again.
Okay.
So, how about this? We'll find a Dusty Rhodes one.
Okay. That's a good
one. We'll find a Dusty Rhodes one. It'll probably be horribly cheesy and weird and really long matches with out of shape men wearing normal tights. And it'll be awesome. It'll be great.
Yep.
Sounds good to me.
That's what wrestling should be. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Larson and I will be back probably next week, with our Kayfabe Corner and our, all the tomfoolery we do. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.